Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Eddie Fraser is 26 years old and a recently admitted lawyer of the Supreme Court of Queensland. He is a father of two young girls and husband to an amazing wife. He enjoys spending his time watching his young girls learn and grow and even learning from them. Eddie plays an active role within his local community and he aspires to enhance social justice and has a drive to ensure equality. Eddie holds a great dedication and willingness to learn. He is looking to grow and develop in his chosen field and aims to make a difference in all he does and hopes that he can inspire others to dare to drive their dreams. Hi, Eddie. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thanks for having me, Leanne.
Oh, you're really welcome. I'm so excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Absolutely.
All right. So do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Yep. So right now, you know, we're 8 months into 2018 and I have had an unfortunate event happen at the beginning of the year. I was a ministerial staffer and I was on PAT leave. And when I returned from PAT leave on the 2nd of January, my chief of staff said to me, you know, there's no role in this new government for you and we won't be extending your contract. So here I am with a two-year-old and a newborn in the household, and it kind of shook our world a bit because we lost an income, an important income in our household. You know, there was a lot of emotion associated with that, anger, frustration. You know, my own party, I'm obviously affiliated with the Labor Party, and they always have been a party that my ideologies and my social justice aspects relate well with. And to be told that, I was a bit shocked because we talk about all the time working for Queenslanders and working for the people and being for families. And here I was with all of these ideals and ideologies just sprung out and destroyed from the fibres that make us who we are and why we go down particular paths. So it's been a struggling 8 months for myself and the family, and my wife has had to go back to work full time so that we can support our young children. And I've taken the role of being a stay-at-home mum because I've been unable to obtain a full-time role in the private sector or the public sector for the period of time. So it's been quite a challenging 2018. But, you know, when you look back at life, there's always been these challenges, and how we respond to them and how we move forward speaks to our character more than anything else. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that and understand that and keep applying and being the best we can, even though times are dire and the financial circumstances are hard and we're going without with things that we would usually have. But at the end of the day, it's growing our character and growing my character in particular and building that resilience. And I'm not a quitter, so I'll keep fighting, and I've been applying. I think I applied for about 109 law firm roles in May alone with continual rejection. I'm pulling about 80 to 100 applications a week, still with no luck, via different modes, Seek, LinkedIn, social media, Facebook, utilizing the tools that are available to us. But the main focus for me is to keep pushing ahead. And that's what I feel that everyone needs to keep doing, because life doesn't have a constant. Life is not constant. The only constant we have is time. So if we don't reach out and we don't support each other and we don't acknowledge each other, then what is our purpose? And finding that is always important. So I'm 26 years old. I was admitted. One good piece that happened in April was I was admitted, and I was admitted to the Supreme Court of Queensland alongside, you know, with the support of my wife and my two little girls, my two-year-old and my, she was about 4 months when I was admitted. And that those little wins eventually amount to greatness. So we just keep pushing, and I think that's really important. But right now, it's a struggle, and where I've been has also been a struggle. But I know, and I wish everyone knew, and it's my hope that everyone knows that everything is momentary. And life is like a river. It never flows the same path twice. Sometimes it requires the assistance of the reins to break that barrier and to create a new path and to create a new flow. But it'll never flow the same path again. Mm. So I think that's really, really important. And that's just a nutshell of my story, right? Because I could sit here and talk to you all day about my 16-year-old self and my 15-year-old self and how I was kicked out of home and I had to avoid homelessness and independently live and then at one point take on the role of student as well as a parent and older brother. The household that I grew up in and how my father had a heavy hand and was quite abusive. And life is a story, and if we had all the time in the world, I'd sit here and chat to you about it all day, Leanne. I know you've got so much to do, so I'll keep it brief and wrap it in a nice little ball for you.
Wow, fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that. So I gather along the way you've had tipping points for change where things, you know, as you say, with the river and that, you know, your life does change and take different directions. So do you have some key tipping points? Like, you're only 26, but have you had key tipping points? I know you said the one about the Labor, that Labor Party, and he came back not having a job. But what other key tipping points have you had?
Yeah, so a big tipping point from earlier in life is when I was kicked out of home. It's that point that you need to realise it's fight or flight. You can fall in a heap and not be able to focus on what the future holds, or you can bring all of the things that you will, and you do, you will it, and you can achieve the dreams. And I've got a mantra that I coined in 2012, and it was when I was focusing on presenting to a cohort of graduates for a diploma of business, which I also have. And it's basically daring to drive your dream, and that you're going to have these pitfalls, but it's most important that you keep daring to drive that dream. And no one should be able to tell you you're not going to amount to anything in life. As a teacher, and I went to a private school, and a teacher once said, you know, Mr. Fraser, I don't believe you're going to get very far in life, and you're skating on thin ice. And, you know, these things only built my resilience, and I know that everyone has a different reaction to these comments, and we tend to shy away from our adversities, but it's really important that we utilise them as the pillar of our strength, because that's where our strength is formed. And that was a particular tipping point for change. You know, in high school, I found myself on the wrong side of the law. And, you know, I, in a position where I got myself in a bit of trouble in the law. And look at, you fast forward to 26, and here's someone that's dedicating his life to social justice and to enforcing and applying the laws. And you just look at that shift. So in that particular instance, the tipping point for me was I was before a magistrate, and I looked at the sentencing remarks of this magistrate, and he said, you know, Mr. Fraser, I can see and your advocate has said you wish to practice law. So you know that if you're before me or anyone again, that it's going to have severe repercussions for those goals. I don't have any doubt that no one will see you again in this circumstance, but I'd also like to draw your attention to this particular section of the Penalties and Sentences Act. I want you to go home and read that, because this sentence that I'm imposing today falls under this section, and I'd like you to read it, and I'm sure you won't have any issues understanding it, because you're moving into that phase of your life where you're going to study law. So it'd be good for you to know that. And so these are little moments that you carry with you all your life as to how you develop and grow. The circumstances to which I was in that position was basically I got myself into the heat of a moment where, you know, someone said something and called me horrible thing. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And that had reactions to a stranger that said something else. And then at that point in time, you lose yourself. And the next thing I know is I've assaulted this person. There have been many tipping points throughout my short life, as you can appreciate. I'm sure I've got so much more to learn in life, and I won't stop learning until I close my eyes. My children teach me, and I'm 26. My wife teaches me. People around me that I meet teach me. Anyone that I have contact with has got something to teach, and that's an important realization to come to as well. So, again, tipping points for change, we can speak about that days, Leanne.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I believe in too, that you can learn from everyone, so or every situation as well. So I love how you brought that up. So when you've had these challenges along the way, anything that made you feel like throwing in the towel?
Look, there's been many times where I've gone, I can't do this anymore. You know, a brief stint in my youth, I was, I had to do the mental health test, and the circumstances surrounding that was, and followed that was some time with counsellors and psychologists. And that's something that people are afraid to talk about. It's a taboo to say, you know what, I actually need help. And, there was a point in life where I said, what is the purpose of living? What's the point of living? Why am I still here? I'm breathing air that I don't deserve. And I would get into a stage of talking so badly about myself that I at one point believed that. And, you seek the right help, and the tipping point there is, acknowledging that you need some help. Ego is an evil thing. We are so engrossed that we believe we don't need support and help at points in our life that it can be what destroys us. I like to use the analogy of a monk, and let's talk about Buddha and his story. He, in his ministry, told his monks, well, you're going to eat once a day, and when you do eat, you're not going to get that food from a shop, but you're going to ask someone else for it, because you're going to ask for alms. Because what that's going to teach you is that your ego is not the be-all and end-all. And if you can destroy your ego by asking for help, asking for the necessity that keeps you living, then that's not a challenge that you face. Yeah, that definitely has been an eye-opener, if you want to call it that, and an awakening moment to reconnect and revisit the daring to drive your dream mantra that I established.
I definitely acknowledge you for talking about it, because it is still a bit of a stigma for people talking about this sort of thing, isn't that? Asking for help, in times of mental illnesses and things like that, or they're just not wanting to keep living. So I really acknowledge you for talking about that. And that's why I like to do this podcast, is to get it out there so people can start talking about these things. And just even if we help one person from listening to this, that's just so key.
And you're right. One person, one thing that someone can do can change someone's life, change their trajectory. You never know, and no small act of kindness is ever going to be wasted, no matter how small. You might not have the ability to donate thousands of dollars to not-for-profits to meet their causes. But if you have a listening ear or some time, which everyone says, oh, I don't have time, but those people need to go, okay, well, if you don't have time to set aside for yourself or for someone else, then you need to make that time and enforce that, because it's a learnt behaviour. Time is a constraint that we have now that we didn't have. We would still function without time. If you took away the 24-hour time constraint that we have, or the years, or the months, or the days, and how we interpret time to be valued, we would still be operating. I do think that we need to talk about these things, and the elephants in the room need to be spoken about, and people need to be aware that, it's okay to not be okay.
Yes.
It's okay to seek help when you need it. it's okay to ask for help if you need it, because our egos are telling us, no, nah, you've got this on your own. You don't need this. You don't need that person to help you. Just tough it up, tough it up, princess. And then you go through this cycle of continuously utilizing an ineffective measure of support, which unfortunately becomes our downfall at the end. So I can't stress it enough that we all can do our bit, and history is not going to remember us by the loads of money that we put into a specific building, or the loads of money that we, the loads of land that we had. That's not what history will remember us for. It will remember us for the differences we made in society, in the lives of others, in the lives of our children, who are tomorrow's leaders, teachers, doctors, educators, early childhood teachers. Having two young girls, you teach them independence, you teach them, respect, self-respect, you teach them a lot of things, and that starts at home. Everything we teach them is our legacy. That is what history remembers us for.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. So what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have a big vision?
Look, the biggest vision I have, and what keeps me, first and foremost, what keeps me putting one foot in front of the other, it's my wife and my two beautiful children. Because without them, there wouldn't be that support. They're the ones that you have the biggest hopes for in the future. There's so much pressure, a lot of pressure on people to do X and Y. But, I've always resolved, and my wife and I are on the same page, that whatever our children choose to do, so long as we support them and encourage their hopes and dreams, we've done the best thing. We can't force them. My children may not want to be lawyers. My children may want to be humanitarianists. They may want to be teachers. They may want to be beauticians. They may want to be tradespeople. And that's okay. That's completely okay, because everybody has to find their own path. We as parents are here to guide them. And that is the only thing we can do. Mm. Guide them in the direction and follow, and help them to follow their path. And so that keeps me moving. And if I can make a change, I mentioned to you earlier that I'm involved in some community groups as well. I utilized the small funds that I have, and I donate. And because I donate those funds, I keep in touch with the organizations. I don't just want to be the person that gives the money and says, all right, that's it, it's going through, set and forget. No, I like to keep up. And I received, for this financial year, I received a report from this particular organization called KYC Youth, who the director is Kim Reed. And she let me know that I supported a young girl who couldn't get a passport because her parents wouldn't give her that. And so the funds that I donated were helping her to finish her grade 12. Then there was a setback, and the person she was living with, it couldn't be done anymore. She wasn't able to have a phone to seek help from the case managers. And then, she got back on track and she found a suitable family, and she's on track finishing her grade 12, and she's got her career progression map planned out, and KYC had minimal contact with her. And that, if that was my little girl, that's what I would want to see the kindness of someone else create. Mm. And then the second young girl had a drug addiction, had been on crystal methamphetamines since she was 13. She was a police referral. By the time the report was written, they were nearly 60 days drug-free. I had helped with the canopy oils and the assistance. She was in bad shape when she arrived at KYC. Now she started a TAFE course and she has a career progression plan. And these are the things that I value, because as I said, our youth are tomorrow's leaders. They are our tomorrow in any way. And so that keeps me putting one foot in front of the other. Mm. And I'm still doing that, and I'm still donating. All in all, we're still struggling in our own household, but giving back to someone that I'm never going to meet, and that I'm getting brief reports, obviously for privacy reasons, and that's fine. But I'm seeing that in a year, that's two people I've made a difference for.
Yeah.
In a financial year. Yeah. That's two more than zero.
That's so awesome. And what about the future for you then? What's exciting about the future for you?
Look, I am hopeful that in the future that I can continue to keep making a difference, both professionally. I'm waiting to get that foot in the door. And you know what they say, if you can't get your foot in the door and the doors aren't opening, you start to break some windows. And I'm reaching at 8 months down the track with no success in foot in the door, I'm getting to that break the windows down segment. So watch the space, because I won't always be unemployed, and I hope to give back much more than I currently am, because I'm only scratching the surface right now, because that's all I can do.
Yeah.
But when I can do more, I will be sure to be doing that. And for the future, it is to keep getting involved in these great programs. This 1000 Ripple Effect program is going to be a game changer for our youth, ones that are disengaging, ones that might just, they may not even read the full books. They may read one particular story, and that's all they need. They might read a page. A page will make a difference in their life, because they'll resonate with that. Something so simple. And not every author is writing 1,200 words. Some are writing, you know, short quotes. And that's great, because all you need is to engage that person to realize that, you know what, it might be bad right now, but it's going to get better and things will change. I'm in control of that. And there are so many people out there that are willing to support me in my journey. All I have to do is reach out. And so that's definitely, look, I definitely have a keen interest on industrial relations. You know, I like workers' rights. I'm very, as socially aspect, you know, as I said, I like my social justice. To access justice, and justice is important. It denotes even-handedness. It shouldn't be, you know what, I'm going to beat you because I can afford the best barrister and I'm throwing money at it left, right and centre, while the other party's sitting there, they can't even afford a lawyer to be by their side to support them in a courtroom in active advocacy. And that's really, it's really a painful thing to see. It wasn't an easy path to become a lawyer. It's been a difficult one. There's been many sleepless nights, many essays, many exams. But at the end of the day, everything that I have done and continue to do will be for the betterment of my community and my family and life and society in general.
That's fantastic. I really admire your passion and determination and persistence for helping people out. It's a great quality that you have in you. All right, so let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Let's go.
What's your favourite book?
Oh, favourite book. Ooh, that's a really good question. I've read so many in my time. It would have to be a recent book that I've read by David Green, and it's The 47 Laws of Power, which is a self-help book. It's quite an interesting read with some very historical anecdotes to it. It's quite a nice book.
Oh, nice. Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
I think we've already covered this one in the longer round. I think everyone has a purpose. So it would be remiss of me to name a particular mentor, because I've had so many.
Yeah.
Along my journey, and I'll continue to get them.
What daily ritual works best for you?
Daily ritual for me is, you know what, yesterday's done, can't be undone, it's over. Let's just focus on what today brings, focus on the now. You know, the future is, if you think too far ahead, you've already lost the game. You need to focus on we're in the present. Let's focus on what we can do now, on the here and now. What can we do? How can we make a change? What's required to make that change? Let's go.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a favourite food?
I have many favourite foods, many, many favourite foods. Obviously, having a cultural background, I love my Indian food. I love my Italian food. I love my Mauritian food, because I'm from Mauritius, which is Indian-inspired. Food is great.
Do you like the country or the city?
I think each of those two have their own benefits. Personally, I'd love to unplug and move away from the hustle and bustle. There's work to be done everywhere. But I'm in a sub-rural area, You know, I get the best of both worlds. When you're 45 minutes between the Sunshine Coast and the CBD, you get the best of the three worlds: the coast, the country, and the city.
Yeah,
not a bad place, I think. And that obviously isn't tied with my sitting on the fence.
Love it. Do you have a piece of advice to give to others to help them make change in their life?
It starts with you, and you need to remember, even though someone will be able to help you, you also need to remember that you need to be able to help yourself, because once you have acknowledged that you need that help within you, then everything else will flow. It's really important that you don't give up and don't let the opinions of others shroud you away from your goals and your dreams. It's important that you dare to drive to your dream.
Yeah, great advice. All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
That's a really good question. Time machine, what would I tell myself? I'd go back and tell myself everything and more that I've explained to you in this interview today, because that is the information that I'd want to keep hearing to keep mounting life's challenges. I don't think anything in this particular podcast or that I've spoken about before or that I've written about in this particular Thousand Ripple project would be something that I wouldn't tell my 15-year-old self or my 10-year-old self.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Eddie. Really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Yes, look, I can be contacted via email on Eddie Fraser, EddieFraser 91 at gmail.com.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Leanne. It's been a pleasure.
Igniters, Eddie had his world shook up, and his ability to keep pushing ahead shows his character and resilience. I love his mantra, to dare to drive your dream. If you want to contact Eddie, email him on eddiefraser91@gmail.com. For bringing balance to your life so you can handle whatever comes your way, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.